Amen. 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 Right. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Love you, sis. Amen. Romans chapter number 6. Romans chapter number 6. And then we're going to Genesis chapter 24. I won't keep you very long tonight, but I do want to talk to you about something I felt the Lord put on my heart while I was preaching. I guess it was Sunday night, or maybe it was last Sunday night. I can't remember. But I talked about how so many of God's people seem unhappy. God's people, just for the most part, when people are saved and they're living under the grace of God and with the blessings of God. Now, I don't think we should go around with this fake smile on our face all the time, because we have bad days, amen? Stuff happens, doesn't it? I don't care who you are. But I got to trying to figure out what is the problem for so much unhappiness in the church. I know sometimes, like, we're dealing with death or family issues or things like that, we have bad days, but it shouldn't be the norm, shouldn't be the rule of our life. Would you agree with that? The Bible does say, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. We ought to be a pretty happy bunch. Yeah. Amen. And I believe I can put my finger on the problem tonight, and it's not going to sound like a Wednesday night sermon, but I remember when God dealt with me about this issue personally in my life at White Oak Springs, it was on a Wednesday night. And I did something in the altar that night that changed my life, changed the entire course of my life, and I believe if you allow God, He'd do the same thing for you. Amen. But you look at Romans chapter 6 and look at verse number 13, and I'm going to show you why so many of God's people aren't happy. It's because they're in a fight. They're in a fight. And I'm not just talking about a fight with the devil. They're wrestling with God.
Amen.
We're trying to hold on to this. And now we've got this new thing, the Lord, over here, and we're trying to hold on to that. And we're trying to pull those two things together, and they don't go together.
That's right.
And you're constantly in a struggle and a turmoil. Look at Romans chapter 6 and verse number 13. Romans chapter 6 and verse number 13. He said, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. He said, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. I want to back up to verse 13 just for a second. He said, neither, say that next word with me. Yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but what? Yield yourselves unto God. Everybody that drives an automobile in this country knows what the word yield means, right? It means to give way to. It means to give way to. It means to give in to. It means to surrender. It means to give up your ground. Amen. You okay? It means to yield. Here's our problem. We're not yielded to God.
Amen.
We're not yielded to God. I want to read you the words of a song. We used to sing it every service as for the invitation when I was a kid growing up. It's I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. In His presence daily live. All to Jesus I surrender. Humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. All to Jesus I surrender, make me Savior, wholly thine. Let me feel the Holy Spirit, truly know that thou art mine. All to Jesus I surrender, I give myself to thee. Fill me with thy love and power, let thy blessing fall on me. All to Jesus I surrender, now I feel the sacred flame. Oh, the joy of full salvation, glory, glory to His name. Amen. I've sung that song thousands and thousands and thousands of times. I surrender all. I surrender all. Can I ask you a question tonight? Have you ever surrendered all? Have you ever just fully surrendered your life to God? In other words, what that is saying, God, whatever you want is fine with me. Whatever you choose is fine with me. When I got saved, I started driving the bus, y'all have heard it a thousand times, I wore overalls to church and had no desire in my heart to be a preacher. I wanted to be a deacon and to carry the big checkbook. If I could have had any job in the church, that's the one I wanted right there. I wanted people to have to come ask me for money. Amen. and tell the preacher what to do. At least that's what I thought deacons were supposed to do. Amen. That was about my idea of it. And when I would think about surrender, or they'd preach about the will of God for your life, I'd try to tell God what it was. I'd try to tell God what I thought would be good for me. Yeah, because I would take my personality and my lifestyle, and I'd see where it fit in the ministry. Little did I know that God wasn't interested in my personality, wasn't interested in my lifestyle. He already had a will for me, and it was as far as anything I could ever dream of in my entire life. You understand that? We want the will of God to be exactly what suits us. Well, what you don't even know what suits you.
Amen.
You know what suits your flesh. Amen. You know what you like. I mean, when God started dealing with me about preaching, man, I thought, no, I must have ate something bad before I went to bed, or I must be having delusions, or something. This is crazy. This is not God. And then I started getting sermons, and when I was reading the Bible, I'd get a sermon, and I'd say, Lord, this can't be. I'm not a preacher. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how to preach. I'm too old to go to school. God, surely you're mistaken. But I remember one night on a Wednesday night, I crawl up under the communion table at White Oak Springs Baptist Church, and I fully surrendered my life to God. I fully let it go. I fully let Him have it. I quit trying to tell Him what I thought was best for me. And I started listening. And you know what? Since that day, I've learned what it is to be a truly happy child of God. I'm talking about happy without money, happy with money, happy with problems, happy without problems, but have bad days, of course, but on the overall, the gist of it, I mean, pretty much happy, probably 98% happy.
Yeah.
Now, probably 98% of the time, I'm happy.
Yeah.
How is that? I'm not wrestling.
Amen.
I'm not running. I'm not fighting. I'm not trying to tell God what He needs to do in my life. I'm finally got to a place where I learned how to trust Him and surrendered my life to Him. When we talk about finding the will of God and searching for the will of God and surrendering our life wholly to God, we automatically think about the ministry. Oh, I need to surrender my life so I can be a preacher. You need to surrender your life so you can be a happy Christian.
Yeah.
You need to surrender your life. Surrender is not just for preachers. Searching for the will of God for your life is not just for preachers. It's for everybody who's saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Don't answer the question out loud, but do you know God's will for your life? Do you know where God wants you to be? Do you know what God wants you to be doing? And I know from time to time that can change, especially in a ministry and in a church like this. God may move you from this and put you into that, and move you from this and put you into that. But are you in the will of God right now in your life? And if you are, I'm going to say you're probably happy. For the most part, you're probably happy. So I just got fired today. Yeah, I know. But deep down inside, you've got peace. Deep down inside, you've got peace. That's why we can go to a funeral like Mr. Hughes's tomorrow and shout the roof off the top of the building. Why? There's sadness there and there's heartache there, but there's also joy there and there's also happiness. Anthony got to shouting in the funeral home a while ago. I said, man, if we could just get a glimpse of what he's looking at. You know, he's been blind ever since he had his stroke and hadn't been able to see. And I said, brother, he's seeing better than 20/20 now. And could you imagine what he's looking at? And brother Anthony got to shouting. I know we're standing by the casket with the body laying there and we're shouting in a funeral home. That's strange to some people. But there's happiness and there's joy down on the inside. Amen. Do you know the will of God for your life? Are you fully surrendered to God? Are you wrestling with God? I know we wrestle with the flesh, and you're going to do that to the day you die. You understand that? You're going to wrestle with this old flesh. It didn't get saved, your soul did. Yeah, that's why the flesh is not going to heaven. That's why we're going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Amen. Because this flesh is wicked and it's sinful. It ain't going to be nothing wicked and sinful in heaven. Amen?
Amen?
I'm going to talk to you a little bit tonight about surrendering. Surrendering is not a prayer you pray. It's not a song you sing. It's a condition of your heart. It's a complete giving over of your will to the will of God. In other words, I'm taking my hands off whatever you want. You know what they say when the cops pull a gun and say freeze? They say, I surrender, right? In other words, I'm at your will. Whatever you want now is fine. Just please don't shoot me with that gun. Amen. Amen. It's time some of us took our hands off. It was time we quit trying to fix the marriage. It's time we tried to quit fix the finances. It's time we quit trying to fix all this stuff and all the problems and just learn to really trust God for once in our life. In other words, it's like telling me telling you or a perfect stranger coming in and telling you, say, I want to take you somewhere special. And they put you in the car and put a blindfold on you. And they say, trust me, it's going to be good when we get there. Amen. That's what Jesus is saying. Here, I got a blank contract I want you to sign. We want the full contract. We want to know what everything's going to be and how it's going to be, how we're going to get from point A to point B, and what's our salary going to be. And you know what I'm saying? And we want to sign it after God's filled it out. But surrender is not surrendering to what you already know. It's surrendering to what you don't know. Does that make sense? I didn't know God's going to call me to preach when I prayed that prayer. If I'd have known that, Brother Freddie, I probably wouldn't have prayed that prayer under that table that night. But I meant that thing with all my heart. God, and that's what I said. I said, God, whatever. I prayed that Isaiah prayer. Here I am, Lord, send me. You know, Lord, I don't know what to do. God, I don't have much talent. Lord, I'm not very educated. God, I'm just a construction worker. But if you can use these old calloused hands, God, here I am. I'll do anything you ask me to do. And I meant it. I really did. Till he told me what it was. I really meant it. God, I'll do anything you want me to do. But see, what I was figuring on was whatever he wanted me to do would be within my realm. But a lot of times when God shows you or reveals to you what he wants you to do, it's not within your realm at all. It's something you never even thought about. Amen. Something you never even thought about. Brother Joe, did you ever figure you'd be on a bus working with kids? Brother Jason, you ever figure you'd be working with addicts? No, because you was one, amen? Y'all listen, when God shows you his will for your life, don't always think it's going to be just what you had in mind. When God showed me what he wanted me to do, and he could only show me after he knew I was surrendered. And he's only going to show you when he realizes he's really got your heart and you really trust him, amen? And when he did show me, I fought it. Number one, because I had doubt. I didn't doubt God, but I doubted me. Yes, sir. I doubted me big time. Y'all think I talk like a hick now? It was really bad back then. I preach in New York now, and they halfway understand me. Back then, they would not have understood a word I say. I'm serious. It was that bad. I was like Moses. God, I can't even talk. You don't want me to preach. And I'll never forget the night I stood up. It was actually the night before on Saturday night. I woke my wife up in the middle of the night, and I was crying. She said, "What's the matter?" I said, "You remember you said you'd stand by me no matter what?" She thought I was fixing to tell her I was having an affair because she knew something was up and something was wrong. I'd been acting strange for a while. And she said, oh, no, what is it? I said, "The Lord's called me to preach." She went, "Whew." "Is that all?" I said, "What do you mean, is that all?" She said, "I thought she was having an affair." I said, "No, it's worse. I got to preach." "It's worse than that, honey. I got to preach, and I ain't got a clue what I'm doing." Amen. But it's the moment I voiced that thing out of my mouth, it was like I had surrendered. And, brother, there was a weight off my chest. It felt like I got saved all over again. It truly did. It felt like I got saved all over again. When I stood up on the front row at White Oak that Sunday, after that Saturday night, and announced that God had called me to preach, brother, I'm telling you, there was a happiness filled my soul. It was like I have found my place in life, and I had never even done it.
Yeah. Amen.
But I knew I was in the will of God for my life. I'll tell you a few ways you can know if you're getting some opposition. Amen. If you're getting some opposition, let me show you something. Go to Genesis chapter 24. Genesis chapter 24. We're going to look at Rebecca just for a little bit tonight. Genesis chapter 24. Say amen when you get there.
Amen.
When you're fully surrendered to God, there may be some things expected or asked of you by the Holy Spirit, by the Lord, that seems like a bad thing. Say it again. The Lord may ask you things that seem like a bad thing. Remember when God called Abraham? What's the first thing he said to him? Leave. Leave your home. Leave your family. He wasn't even supposed to take Lot. He said, go. Go where? I'll tell you. Just go. Now, buddy, we don't want it like that, do we? We got to have a map. Step-by-step instructions. We want a will of God book for dummies. You know how they got the computers for dummies and all that? We need a will of God book for dummies. That's what we want. We want something to guide us, take us through step-by-step. Every step is by faith. Every step in your Christian life is by faith. What you've got to learn to do is understand that God's going to take you nowhere that you're not going to like. God's going to take you nowhere that's not going to be good, because the will of God is the only place that you're going to know true joy and true happiness. Outside of it, you're going to be in misery. Outside of the will of God, you're going to be uncomfortable. You're going to be unhappy. Why? Because it's contrary with the Holy Spirit of God that lives inside of you. Has the Lord ever spoke to your heart and said, when are you going to quit doing it your way? When are you going to quit trying to do it your way and follow me for once in your life? You say, well, God doesn't tell me what his will is. Well, I'll get to the scripture in a minute. Sure he does. You've got it in your hand. You've got it in your hand. Sometimes we think God speaking to us is this spooky Holy Ghost thing, and it's not always that way. The Holy Ghost can impress upon your heart, and the Holy Ghost can speak to your heart, but mainly God speaks to you through that book right there. Amen. I mean, we could go page after page and show you some things that you know for a fact is the will of God for your life. I believe it'd be God's will for you to pray, don't you? He said, pray without ceasing. I believe it'd be God's will for you to read that Bible. I believe it'd be God's will for you to hand out a gospel tract or witness to your neighbor or your coworker. You think those things are the will of God? Are you doing them? Are you doing them? If you're not doing the things you know to do, he's not going to show you anything further. Yeah, amen. I want you to look at Genesis chapter 24. Look at verse number, I'm in Psalms. Hold on. I turned the wrong bookmarker. Sorry about that. Genesis chapter number 24. And look with me at verse number 58. You know the story. Abraham sends Eliezer, his servant, to go find back to the home of his kindred to find a bride for his son. And Eliezer makes a little prayer. He's on his camel there by the well, and he makes a little prayer and says, God, if the one that comes out and I ask her to give me a drink and she gives me a drink, but she also offers to get water for my camels, let that be the one. If she's the one, God, let this thing happen. That thing happened. She came out, he asked for water, and she gave to his camels also. And he goes home with her, meets the family and all this thing, and tells them what the will of the Father is. You know, this is a picture of God the Father, God the Holy... My mind went blank. This is a picture of God the Father in Abraham, the Holy Spirit in Eleazar, Jesus Christ the Son in Isaac, and then bride, that's you and I, in Rebekah. When he tells her the will of God and tells the family the will of God, she has to make a decision. Now listen, does she know this guy? No, he's a stranger. Does she know anything about where he's going? She don't know a thing. And they called Rebekah in verse number 58 and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. Well, those are three pretty big words, amen. I will go. Where are we going? I don't know. I'm going with him. How far is it? I don't know. I'm going with him. How long is it going to take to get there? I don't know. I'm going with him. Are y'all listening? That is a great picture of full surrender right there. But listen, there was some opposition there. Listen, number one, I want you to notice the difficulties of her decision of full surrender. Number one, she had to leave home. She had to leave home. You say, if I surrender to God, am I going to have to leave home? Maybe not. Possibly. Y'all okay? Brother Freddie did. Brother Freddie got saved, got in church. First thing God had him do was leave home. Move to where I'm going tomorrow, Pensacola, Florida. And go to Bible school for 3 years. Then he went back to Alabama. God had him leave there again. Come here and help us. First thing she had to do is leave home. This is a young girl. She'd been in that house all her life. She didn't know anything else. And the first thing God says do is, I want you to leave home. I'm not saying God's going to ask you to leave home, but what God may ask you to do may have some difficulties in the way. When God asked me to leave and come here, that was a tough decision in my life. I knew it was the will of God. There was no doubt about it. But I'd never been to church anywhere but White Oak. I didn't know anything but White Oak. I'd been there my whole life and planned to die there. And God said, leave. And God said, leave. And I said, I don't want to leave. And God said, well, I thought you surrendered. Remember that little prayer you prayed up under that table? Yes, God, I do. Okay. If you want to please me, and you want some real joy and some real happiness in your heart and your life, you're going to have to leave. Sometimes it requires a leaving. Some of you left somewhere to come here. Amen. Some of you left somewhere to come here, and God led you to do that. Amen. Or you surrendered. It involved leaving. Not only that, she had to leave with a stranger. She had to leave with a stranger. She had to go with somebody she didn't even hardly know. But yet she was still fully surrendered. She didn't know Eleazar. She had never met him till yesterday at the well. And she offered his camels. Little did she know by offering that man his camels some water, it was going to change the whole course of her life. Amen. Seems like a bad thing. I've got to leave home. I've got to go with this guy that I don't even know. He might be a pervert. I mean, that'd be our way of thinking, wouldn't it? I don't know this guy. I'm not going anywhere with him. Can you imagine a man coming to your house and saying, my master lives in another country over here, but he wants a daughter, a wife for his son from his kindred here, and I want to take him. She's going to be the wife of a great man. And can you imagine somebody coming in asking for your daughter like that, and you go, yeah, sure, whatever she wants to do. Well, ain't no way in the world, man. It seemed like a difficult thing. She had to leave home. She had to leave with a stranger. But yet, she was totally surrendered. Little did she know what her life was about to become. Amen. Little did she know. Little did I know under that communion table that night at White Oak Springs when I fully, for the first time in my life, surrendered my life to God. Little did I know this was where I was going. Amen. Little did I had no idea, Brother Charles. I didn't have a clue. And it's probably a good thing. It's probably a good thing that you don't know, that you just go ahead and surrender and trust God that whatever it is, it's going to be awesome. I remember the first time I preached, man, I made the awfulest mess you ever seen in your life. I'm making a pretty good one now, I guess, but I mean, it was way worse than that. I had 10 pages of notes, preached 10 minutes, cried 5 of them. But I remember getting home thinking, man, I want to do that again. What I thought I wouldn't enjoy, I did. Somebody said, why you go and preach so much? I like it. I really do. I enjoy it. I'm going to Pensacola, Florida tomorrow night and preach with one of my dearest friends. Oh, we're going to have a good time. I'm going to please the Lord and I'm going to do His will, but He lets me enjoy it as a bonus. Amen. It'd be bad if He asked me to do something and I surrendered to Him and He made me do something I absolutely hate doing. Something I just absolutely despise, but I love it. I love the ministry. I love every aspect of it. I do. I really do. We joke and I talk about I hate doing weddings. I enjoyed that last night. That was a blessing. Yeah. Amen. I hate going to funeral homes, but I love loving our people. Yeah. Amen. Amen. She had no idea who she was about to become the bride of. But without question, she said, I will go. I will go. She had to leave home. She had to leave with a stranger, and here's something she had to do that I have always been horrified of. She had to go to a strange country. She had to go to a strange country. A people who she knew nothing about their custom, knew nothing about them. I've always been scared to death since I surrendered to preach that God was going to ask me to go to a foreign mission field. It's just always been a fear in my heart, Brother Fred. It would freak me out. If I had to go to Germany and learn German. I ain't figured English out totally yet. Amen. Somebody said, why don't you take mission trips? I'm scared. I'm serious heart attack. But I've had people offer to pay my way to go to the mission field. No, y'all go ahead. I'm going to support missions with my tithe, with my offering on Sunday. I'm gonna put my check in there every week. That's my missionary journey right there. I'm going to pay so you can go. Amen. I have no desire, but I always had that fear that God was going to send me somewhere where they don't speak English, like Boston. Amen. Just, I really have. I've always had a fear God's going to send me somewhere like that. And here she was going to a place, leaving her home, leaving with a stranger, a man she didn't even know, just going on what he said. She ain't never even seen Isaac. He could be the ugliest bum that ever walked the face of the earth. He could have weighed 400 pounds and been bald-headed and snaggle-toothed, and she has agreed to this. But now she's got to go to a strange country. She's got to go to a people that she don't even know. Wasn't it funny when she got to Isaac? She knew him before they was introduced. She saw him in the field, jumped off the camel and took off, buddy, and run to him. Do you think it was love at first sight? I believe it was. I believe it was love at first sight. You know why? That's the will of God for his life. And that was the will of God for her life. Amen? She had to leave home, had to go with a stranger. She had to go to a strange country. And then she had to marry a stranger. Try that one out. I don't think God would ask any of us today to do that. I don't think God would have you just bump into somebody in the mall and go, hey, you want to get married? not a very good idea, amen. You come see me before you do something that stupid. But she had to marry somebody she didn't know, amen. Now listen, I want to talk about the responsibility of her decisions, of the decision she made when she said, I will go. Put yourself in her shoes. Put yourself in her position. Do you think maybe there was a brother or sister said, are you crazy? Are you crazy? Anybody tell you was crazy for jumping off and going down to Pensacola? They did worse than that, didn't they? Are you serious? You really mean that? You don't think anybody didn't try to talk her out of that? You don't think somewhere somebody didn't say, are you sure you're doing the right thing? You don't even know this guy. You don't know the boy he's taking you to. You don't know nothing about it. You don't know how far it is. You don't know what it's going to be like. Girl, don't do this. As sure as God shows you his will for your life, there's going to be opposition. There's going to be some opposition. Somebody's going to tell you you're crazy. Every preacher in this part of the country talked about me behind my back like I had lost my mind when we moved here. I know it's a small crowd tonight, but I wonder how many of you wouldn't be here if God hadn't moved us here. I wonder how many of you wouldn't even be saved. Now, I'm not saying we didn't save you. It was the Lord. But God put you in the right path. Amen. Amen. Would you agree? Amen. I'm glad I didn't listen to them preachers. Amen. One in particular, I'll never forget, he pointed his finger in my face. He said, you're about to destroy your church. He said, you'll be bankrupt in a year. Shaking his finger up and talking to me like that. I love and respect him, so I let him. I didn't say a word. And you know what was bad? I almost believed him. I almost believed him. I laid in my bed and cried like a baby and said, God, am I crazy? God, don't let me lead my people somewhere it's going to be bad. It ain't going to be right. And in my heart, he kept saying, you know it's right because I told you it's right. I know it's big, but I'm big. I know it seems like a lot to you, but I've handled way bigger than this. Amen. If you'll quit listening to them preachers, I think he might have said something like, I quit listening to them a long time ago. Yeah. Amen. He said, if you'll quit listening to them preachers and listen to me and trust me, here's what the Holy Spirit said to me. I got you here, didn't I? It's worked out so far, hadn't it? Has trust in me gotten you in trouble yet? I said, no, Lord. Boy, I had so much doubt. So much doubt. I told you a story. I was flying in on an airplane. And a lot of times on a clear day when they're in a holding pattern, we fly over this building. And I always, if I'm sitting on the right side of the left side of the plane, usually the way they go, I'm sitting there by the window and I'm looking to see if I can see the church, and there it is. That was the first time I ever saw it from the airplane. I held my thumb up over it like it blocked it completely out. I thought, don't look so big from here. Yeah. Holy Spirit said, how you think it looks from here? Yeah. Amen. She had to face opposition. They said, don't do it, don't go. She disregarded the advice of her friends and probably even some family. Probably even some family. Some of your family will tell you you're crazy just because you go to church here.
Amen.
Amen. I had one lady said, her mother said, Happy Valley, that's a cult. My hind leg. It's about what every Baptist church was around here 50 years ago.
Amen.
We just didn't change.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Right.
Opposition. If you tell somebody, look, I think this is the will of God for my life, and they go, you're crazy, you might be on the right track. Amen. You might be on the right track. Hey, listen, I believe with all my heart, we're supposed to send missionaries out of here. Who was it preaching in this pulpit here recently said that a fruit of a Christian is a what?
Brother Harvey Ware.
The fruit of a Christian is a what? Another Christian. If the fruit of a Christian is another Christian, what's the fruit of a church? Another church. I believe we're supposed to do that. I believe I know we helped Brother Barry and got the church started up in Pennsylvania, and I'll be up there next week, and boy, it's going good, and everything's doing great. I know that. I know we got a part with Caleb out there in Colorado. We're supposed to be doing a lot of that. Amen. God called 30-something preachers out of this church, called them to preach. Reckon he had something in mind? Reckon he had anything in mind? We've had quite a few go through the Bible Institute. You reckon he had anything in mind?
Amen.
Y'all looking at me like I'm crazy. You trying to get rid of us, preacher? No. No, I just want us to be more surrendered to God and be open and willing to do whatever he asked us to do.
Amen.
Amen. She had to face opposition from her friends, no doubt from her family. She had a settled mind. And she made a firm decision in just three little words. I will go. I will go. Now, this is why I say it's more than just a prayer you pray with your lips. It's a condition of your heart. Because when you pray that prayer and say, God, I will go, really and truly in your heart, you've got to not care where that is. You've got to truly not care where that is or what that is. Amen. That was kind of my thought tonight. If you've been struggling, up and down, on and off, surrender. You say, what if I surrender and God don't show me what to do? Be patient. Just be patient.
Amen.
It was a good while before God showed me what I was supposed to be doing.
Yes.
But I meant that prayer. And every time I came to church, I was looking for the answer. God, what is it you want me to do? You know what? I just enjoyed being surrendered for a while.
Yeah.
That's a good feeling. I knew I was where I was supposed to be. I knew I was doing what I was supposed to be doing. God wasn't showing me nothing else. I was happy as I could be with him. He as happy as he could be with me. He had my heart and he knew it. Amen.
Amen.
And then one day God said, okay, it's time. You're ready.
Amen.
I want you to preach. Then I had the idea once I surrendered to that I'd be a flaming evangelist. Go tell everybody how wicked they are and leave. That's what Brother Sam Gipp said. He said, you want me to come down there and split your church? I said, no, thank you, brother. He said, that's why I love evangelism. He said, I wouldn't be a stinking pastor for nothing. He said, if you're a pastor, you got to love people. He said, I just get to go in and rip their heads off, stir up a mess and leave. He's kidding, of course. He's not that way. Not 100% anyway. That's what I had. That was my picture in my, there again, fitting my lifestyle, young and cocky, you know. And I did, boy. I did exactly, that's what I thought I was. And one day God said, I want you to pastor. I was like, ooh. I used to want to be a deacon. Tell the preacher what to do. But now that I'm a preacher, I don't know if I want to be a pastor with deacons telling me what to do. And thank God, 20 years later, I still don't have deacons that tell me what to do. Amen. Listen, I don't know why God put that on my heart, who it was for. I prayed about it this afternoon. I said, God, it's Wednesday night. It's the most faithful people I got that are here. He said, yeah, sometimes faithful people aren't totally surrendered. And you know what? Throughout the years, I've had to do it again. I've had to take what I surrendered years ago and took back and surrendered again.
Amen.
Amen. Did you know it's possible for me and for you to be totally 100% doing God's will for our lives and our hearts not be surrendered? We can be doing, as I'm doing right now, exactly what God called me to do. But I can still at the same time be letting this flesh lead me and rule me. Unyielded to God.
Amen.
Amen. The Lord dealt with me about this while I was preaching the other day. And I really prayed He'd give me a better message than what you got tonight. That's all the Lord gave me. And I thought, Lord, I'm not going to preach it. It's not ready. And I don't know. I just couldn't get out of it. But when the Lord started dealing with me about it, He said, let's make sure you're yielded first. I said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Remember what it means to yield? It means you take your hands off. Let go. Somebody said, let go and let God. Amen. Let's stand there.